Broncos just arriving at the team hotel. We are lucky to be joined now by tight end AJ Derby. And AJ, we were just speaking a couple moments ago. Have a couple family coming down. Are you excited to play a game here in Jacksonville?
Yeah, it's going to be a great environment. We're really just looking forward to trying to go out there and get a win this week. We need to bounce back after last week.
The last couple of games, I know, it seems like you've really found your rhythm. Is that just a product of, you know, getting more comfortable in the system, you know, just getting your feet wet as far as, you know, that tight ends group goes?
Yeah, I'm just really doing what the coach has asked me to do. I feel a lot more comfortable with the offense now, being here a few weeks, and so I'm just going to try to keep moving forward, keep making plays for the quarterbacks.
With Paxton Lynch making his second start this week, a lot's going to be asked for the other guys on the offense. Coach Kubiak said to make sure that he's comfortable. What are some of the things that you guys need to do to make sure he has a good second start?
As a group, we got to play our butt off, and we got to be able to run the ball. Just allow that Paxton to have some time to play action, just do the best we can to help him get a win for us.
Coach Kubiak has mentioned that this is a playoff-type stretch that you guys are going through. Has that been something that you guys have harped on in your preparation this week?
I wouldn't say we harped on it, but we're a focus group this week. We came out to practice and everything. We're out there determined to try to go get this win this week.
If there's one thing we know about AJ Derby, it's that he works fast. He can get into an offensive scheme and really make himself known. He's done that with Trevor Siemian. Question now is, can he do it with Paxton Lynch? It seemed like he was confident he can.
Yeah, they're working on their reps together in practice all this week. And now we've talked a lot about the offense. Let's turn our sights to the Broncos defense. Mace, last week, an uncharacteristic look for the Broncos defense, especially late in that fourth quarter and in overtime.
Yeah, you look back over the last couple of years, and one of the things that has defined this defense is its ability to hold leads late, and really, you know, for the first time when they had an 8-point lead late, couldn't get the job done, allowed the touchdown and then the 2-point conversion. You know, a lot of breakdowns on that drive that were uncharacteristic. 3 penalties for the defense, and then, you know, playing back on 4th and 10, allowing Tyreek Hill to make the play outside that got the Chiefs in the goal to go from which they scored. A lot of things that really didn't look like the Broncos defense that we've come to know the last couple of years, and certainly you get the feeling that they really want to atone for that today.
Was it a lack of aggression, Matt? Was it execution? Was it just some dumb plays there? What was it?
I think it was a bit of a it was a lack of execution, but it was also, give the Chiefs credit. I mean, they played really good football. They played sound, fundamental football. And it's one of those things where the no-fly zone definitely took it upon themselves to say, hey, after the game, we needed to play better, and I think they're going to come out here and respond, because usually they do have a down game. The next game, they're lights out.
Uncharacteristic, because this Broncos defense is still very good. Let's look at some of the numbers here on this graphic. Net yards, still 4th in the league. Yards per play, 2nd in the league. Of course, they have the best pass defense in the league. Interceptions, 10 so far this year. That's just 3 off the pace. And they have 35 sacks, certainly getting after quarterback first in the league.
Yeah, they're on pace once again. They have 50-plus sacks. And the other thing to consider is that they've defended the run much better in the last 2 games than they did in the first 9 games of the season. Really struggling against the run, you know, holding the Chiefs, you know, in the mid 3.0 yard per carry range. They can continue to do that. They'll get the run defense back where they want it to be for the stretch run.
Last year they gave up late touchdown drives to Chicago and New England in the playoffs there, but they didn't give up the 2-point conversion. Last week they did.
We had a great game. We just didn't make it happen at the end. And, I like our chances, you know, 9 times out of 10 in that situation. It was, just unfortunate we weren't able to close. From a big play point of view from my end, the secondary, the linebackers, all across the board, we just didn't make those type of plays that we usually do to end game.
All 11 guys have to play for 60 minutes, and we really talked about that throughout the meetings that, you know, sometimes you can't take your foot off the pedal in those type of games and think that, you know, you have the game won. You have to play, you know, the whole game.
You heard from Von Miller and DeMarcus there, and now we're joined by one guy who certainly knows a lot about Broncos defense. That's former linebacker John Mobley. Thanks for coming on the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, guy.
You've been living here in Jacksonville?
I'm in Orlando. Okay. Yeah, but I wanted to make this commute. Come check out my boys, see how they're going to do today.
How active are you still with the Broncos organization? I mean, you spend any time with these guys? You have any John, your old buddy, is over just down the sideline here.
I see him over there. I check out about three games a year in person, but I keep in contact with a bunch of guys I played with back in the day. But I'm always keeping tabs on them online, making sure they're doing what they're supposed to do.
Is it cool to see, I know a lot of the guys on the staff now were there when you were a player. Was it cool to see guys like John, Coach Kubiak, Rick Dennison, those guys kind of having success, you know, years after you were a player on those same teams?
You know, it's pretty unbelievable, but as a player, when I was there, I always knew that these guys had something special. There's certain intangibles that certain coaches have, and we knew it at that time that they had it, and it's good to see them now prospering with it, and it's just great to see.
You've been out of the league for about 13 years now. You miss it?
I miss the guys. I couldn't play right now the way these guys are. They're so much bigger and faster and stronger now. It's a whole different game.
Of course, you're part of one of the most iconic plays in Broncos history, that Brett Favre fourth down stop. What do you remember from winning that Super Bowl?
You know what? That was probably one of the most memorable moments of my life, besides my children being born. But, I mean, you can't even put it into words. It's indescribable. That feeling, knowing that you did something that, you know, there's so many guys that have come through this league and haven't had that opportunity to do, and you accomplished that. But we had a great team to do that. Great group of guys.
When you saw John on that podium last February, did it bring back, you know, 97, when the first time he held that trophy?
It really did, and it was good to see him suited up instead of full pads. But you know what? He's an amazing man, and he's got such a brain upstairs as far as how to manage the team. And I think we kind of learned it together, being under Shanahan and kind of understanding what he was doing, trying to get us to be that championship team that he needed. And now everybody's got those intangible qualities that we know it needs to possess to be successful.
This team is trying to do what you guys did, repeat. What's the hardest part about trying to repeat?
Well, I mean, it's all in the preparation, and you can never get complacent about it. And I think because, you know, sometimes you win a championship, and I think that's what our back-to-back team, we understood that you can't get complacent. There's always a higher bar you need to set for yourself, and I think if they do that, I think they'll be able to reach.
You got one more?
Well, I was just going to say, this Broncos defense, do you have a prediction for today?
Oh, yeah. It's a blowout. I hope Paxton does good in front of his hometown crowd, and I hope he has a good run here.
All right, John, well, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it. We're always good to chat with former Broncos.
Absolutely, man. Love being back.
Awesome.
We'll
appreciate
take a break
it, John.
Here.
Thank you.
The BTV Live pregame show. Our special thanks to former Broncos linebacker John Mobley for joining us. We're rejoined by Andrew Mason, who now has
Mace's three keys. What else?
It's the best part of the show. We know what it is. Mace, let's get it started.
Well, I have to do it because it's my name in it, right? Number one, take what's there. The Jaguars' fourth best defense in the league in terms of avoiding allowing plays of 20 yards or more. So if they give you the underneath stuff, take it. Play the fairways and greens game if you have to. Appropriate because PJ Tours head court not too far from here. Number two, force Bortles into turnovers. Now, Blake Bortles has been much better at avoiding giveaways the last few weeks, but at the same time, still has a high turnover rate over the last 2 years. He has an elongated delivery, low elbow point. I think there's some opportunities for some strip sack fumbles if the Broncos can get to him. And number three, let Paxton be Paxton. Don't try to shoehorn him into the type of game that he's not the best at this point. Let him get outside the pocket. Let him make quick decisions. If the game plan allows him to do what he does best, I think the Broncos can be in great shape, and Paxton Lynch can have a very good second career start, guys.
May, speaking of individuality, we're going to see some a little bit out here on the field with the Broncos cleats, not just the Broncos, but all around the NFL.
Right. Across the NFL, guys are wearing custom cleats for their favorite charities. We've got Dakota for Coda's Kids. We've got Vaughn Miller for Vaughn's Vision. And we've also got Chris Harris Jr. for his Chris Harris Jr. Foundation. He's wearing the underdog cleats. He says this is for all of the underdogs out there that he represents.
I love them, man. I think Nike did a great job designing them. It's a great cause, I think, to be able to represent your foundation, everything that you do for whatever your cause is. I think it's a great opportunity to kind of show it out there and kind of represent them out there. Just the Chris Harris Jr. Foundation, representing all the underdogs out there. So they got me looking nice, Nike. You see the little bottom with it? So they got me looking good, man. I'm ready. My underdogs are ready. We're ready.
The Chris Harris Foundation, the Chris Harris Jr. Foundation, excuse me, is committed to serving the underserved youth of America. That includes Bixby, Oklahoma. That includes Denver, Colorado. He's held many, many football camps and clinics around the country, so it's great to see that Chris is getting the recognition on his cleats and everybody gets to see it.
Yeah, and if you like what you see out here, use the hashtag #MyCauseMyCleats and get on social media and tell us what you think about these cleats, because some of them are really cool.
Right.
The Broncos, though, not underdogs today. Mason, time for our final thoughts.
Well, just like last week, Paxton Lynch needs to look at what Trevor Siemian did. He trusted Emmanuel Sanders and Demaryius Thomas to win their share of balls on 50-50 passes downfield. He needs to do the same thing. If they're in coverage, so what? Get the ball downfield. They can make plays and win most of their matchups in one-on-one coverage.
My final thought is kind of contrasting that a little bit. I say protect the football.
There you go.
The Broncos have won an NFL best 28 consecutive games when they win the turnover battle. Protect the football, play good defense, and I think they'll come out of here with a win.
My final thought, score fast. The Broncos offense can't give this young but talented Jaguars defense a chance to make plays, gain confidence, think that they can play with the Broncos. If they score quickly, I think that it'll diminish the confidence of that Jaguars D and ultimately lead to a Broncos win. But that'll do it for us here down on the field on Everbank Field. For Andrew Mason, Phil Milani, I'm Matt Boyer. Join us after the game on DenverBroncos.com. We'll have full post-game coverage. Andrew Mason, of course, has the written word covered. Phil and I will have our video reports. Also, check us out on Snapchat, @BroncosOfficial. Until then, though, everybody, enjoy the game. The Jaguars and Broncos are coming up next.
The Broncos travel to Jacksonville to take on the Jaguars. Through 11 games, Broncos linebacker Von Miller leads the NFL with 12 and a half sacks.
That four-man rush, here comes Von Miller, he's got him! And the dance to follow.
Best day of the week, baby, stay tuned.
Give me three! Woo!
Denver's offense looks to continue attacking downfield.
Boot fake and Lynch. Throws, pass, wide open, touchdown, Denver. Emmanuel Sanders with a cartwheel after the catch and score.
The Broncos aim to take care of business in Jacksonville.
Be fast, sharp, and focused, and we're going to come out here with a gun. Let's hit that song, play like Broncos, man, let's go. Broncos on three, one, two, three, Broncos.